Well, good morning. Good morning, and thank you for this opportunity to open up God's Word. Meet me in your Bibles in the Gospel of Matthew. The Gospel of Matthew. And we'll start in chapter 6. The Gospel of Matthew. We'll start in chapter 6. I remember about 8 years ago when I first started reading the Bible before I was saved, my mom graciously suggested that I start with the Gospel of Matthew. Start with the Gospel of Matthew, she said, for a very specific reason. For a very specific reason. Anyone want to venture a guess what that specific reason might have been? Anyone want to venture a guess? Start with the Gospel of Matthew, she said. Anyone? Not the answer that we were looking for this morning. Good answer, though. Good answer. Good answer. Here's a hint. Red letters. Red letters. The Gospel of Matthew is filled with the words of Jesus. What our Lord and Savior said. What our Lord and Savior said. If you have a red letter Bible, the Gospel of Matthew has a lot of red letters in it. The words of Jesus. That's why she recommended starting right here in the Gospel of Matthew. In fact, I started reading Matthew 8 years ago, and I'm still not done. I'm still not done. I just keep reading it over and over and over and over again. Anyone else like that? The words of Jesus, right here in this book. Praise God. Praise God. Well, if you're there in Matthew now, chapter 6 and verse 30, there are five very important words of Jesus. Five very important words of Jesus. Chapter 6 and verse 30, five very important words of Jesus that convict me every single time I read them. Matthew 6:30, five words. O you of little faith, O you of little faith. Convict may not even be strong enough of a word here. It's more like irritate me or nettle me, these five words. O you of little faith. O you of little faith. If I had feathers, these five words would ruffle my feathers. Anyone else's feathers feel ruffled this morning? O you of little faith. O you of little faith. Jesus says these five words in Matthew 6:30. Then he says the same five words in Matthew 8:26. O you of little faith. Then he says the same five words in Matthew 14:31. Then he says the same five words in Matthew 16:8. Then he says the same five words, depending on the translation, in Matthew 17:20. O you of little faith. O you of little faith. Anyone else find these five words convicting, irritating, nettling, feather ruffling? Because when Jesus says these five words, he's talking to us. He's talking to us. Jesus isn't talking to tax collectors and harlots, prostitutes and publicans. He's not talking to the unsaved, unchurched, irreverent, irreligious, heathen, pagan, agnostic, atheistic. He's not talking to Aunt Sue and Cousin Gus. He's talking to you and us. He's talking to his disciples in chapter 6. He's talking to his disciples on the side of a mountain. In chapter 8, Jesus is talking to his disciples in a boat. In chapter 14, Jesus is talking to Peter in the water, and his other disciples who are in the boat. In chapter 16, Jesus is talking to his disciples on the shore. In chapter 17, Jesus is talking to his disciples at the base of a mountain. He's talking to his disciples. He's talking to us. He's talking to the God Squad. You know who you are. The God Squad. He's talking to the pew crew. He's talking to the steeple people, the Lord Horde. The chapel scrabble, did I miss anybody? He's talking to the Lang gang, though they're not here anymore. They disappeared. The Lang gang has disappeared. The Doc Lock Block, they're on the west side. Yeah, the Doc Lock Block. The Brown Hoedown, where's the Brown Hoedown? Downtown, Brown Hoedown. The Cag Drag, which is somewhere around here. He's talking to the Cag Drag. If I didn't call your name, believe me, I've got one for you too. Come up to me afterwards. He's talking to us. He's talking to us. Oh, you of little faith. Oh, you of little faith. Five very important, convicting, irritating, nettling, feather-ruffling words of Jesus. Speaking of feathers, a while back I had dinner for work at this super fancy French restaurant in New York City. And the name of the restaurant was, listen closely to this, this is a true story. The name of the restaurant was Le Petit Poulet. Le Petit Poulet for you French speakers, which means small chicken in English. Small chicken. Now, I love chicken. Carol and Joe remember how much I love chicken. Every time they'd come to, you remember this? You came down to Virginia, and I'd run out to Popeye's, and I'd get the 12-pack family meal pack, whatever it was, with the signature sides, the Cajun fries, the dirty rice, the buttermilk biscuits. Dad's salivating here. I could see that. The buttermilk biscuits, the famous coleslaw. Don't forget the famous coleslaw. Well, now that sounds pretty good right now. Anyways, I'm sitting there at Le Petit Poulet in New York City, and a bunch of waiters, you know, they come out with those silver platters with the chrome domes on top of them. You know what I'm talking about? And I'm looking down at my silverware, trying to figure out which of the forks to use. Well, you use the leftmost fork, I learned. You use your forks left to right. Well, voila, the chrome domes tops come off. And the plates come down, and sitting there in front of me is the most minuscule, microscopic morsel of mush that I've ever seen. The most minuscule, microscopic morsel of mush that I've ever seen. Little chicken, Le Petit Poulet. Where's the beef? Remember that old Wendy's ad? Where's the beef? Where's the chicken? Where's that chicken? Now, is that what Jesus thinks when he looks at us? Where's the faith? Where's your faith? Where's your faith? Is the Lord speaking to you this morning? Oh, you of little faith, does someone need to hear this today? When we're honest with ourselves, when that chrome dome comes off, and it's just you and the Lord, are you praying for more faith? Are you praying for more faith? Do you pray for more faith? Well, let's pray for more faith right now. Let's pray for more faith right now. Lord Jesus, this morning we pray that you might increase our faith. We want to pray the very same prayer that your disciples prayed in Luke 17 while you were walking with them here on this earth. Luke 17 and verse 5, after you gave them some very tough teaching, and the apostles said to the Lord, increase our faith. Increase our faith this morning. Increase our faith, we pray. Increase our faith, we pray, in your holy and precious name. Amen. Amen. Increase our faith. Well, this morning we're finishing up a short three-part series on faith, hope, and love with our anchor text from 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 13. And now abide faith, hope, and love. These three, but the greatest of these is love. Faith hope and love for those with exceptionally good memories. You might remember that I spoke on hope and love last August when the weather was a little warmer. We started that morning with hope. We started that morning with hope, and we ended the evening in love. If you don't remember, just keep nodding your heads like you do remember last August. Faith, hope, and love. The greatest of these is love, Paul says. The greatest of these is love, but the hardest of these is faith. At least for me, anyhow. The hardest of these is faith. Faith doesn't come naturally to me. Faith doesn't come naturally to me. Am I the only one? The hardest for me is faith. Am I the only one like that this morning? Well, there's a famous painting by the French artist Paul Gauguin at the Museum of Fine Arts in Boston. Paul Gauguin, famous painting entitled, the title's not Little Chicken, Craig, if you're wondering. It's not Little Chicken. The title's Where Do We Come From? What Are We? Where Are We Going? Where do we come from? What are we? Where are we going? Origin, meaning, destiny. And I believe that faith has all three of these dimensions. Origin, meaning, destiny. Past faith, our origin, faith that God created the universe and all that exists within it. In the beginning, God. In the beginning, God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. Future faith, our destiny, faith that God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Finally, present faith, meaning, present faith, faith that God will strengthen us, help us, uphold us with His righteous right hand. Present faith, present faith, present faith is faith. It's faith that I can give this message without a diabetic sugar low or sugar high. Faith that I still have a job to go to on Monday. Faith that I'm doing the right job in the first place. Faith that I'm all the husband that Heather could use today. What kind of husband could you use today? Faith that I'm all the husband that Heather could use today. Faith that I'll make it to Massachusetts tomorrow for work. Faith that I can make it through it all. Through it all in the meantime. The meantime, the time between right now, between right now and the day when we meet our Savior face to face. The meantime, someone once described that to me as the dash. The dash, have you heard that? The dash. Because on my gravestone, if Heather kindly buys me a gravestone, there will be etched on it the date that I was born and the date that I die. And in between those two dates will be a dash. The dash. Present faith, present faith. What Jesus said in John 8:14, Jesus said in John 8:14, for I know where I came from and I know where I'm going. For I know where I came from and I know where I'm going. Do you know where you came from and do you know where you're going? Because you came from God, and if Jesus is your Lord and Savior, to God you will return. Praise the Lord. Now, do you have faith for the dash? Do you have faith for the dash in between? The meantime, faith for the present, faith for right now. Faith for right now, now, now. Now, I'd love to stand up and tell you how you can increase your faith. How you can take that first step, how you need to take 3 steps, 5 steps, 7 proven practices, 8 practical ways, 10 basic methods, how you can increase your faith. Brethren, I've tried all the steps. I've tried all the steps, and the only step that's worked for me is prayer, that God will increase my faith. That God will increase my faith. Pray, and let him show you how he grows your faith. And it's all right here in the Gospel of Matthew, how God increases your faith. And brothers and sisters, it's not always the things we might think we want. Listen, our Heavenly Father, increases our faith by providing 5 things in our lives. 5 things in our lives. Our Heavenly Father increases our faith by providing 5 things in our lives, all conveniently starting with the letter L. 5 L words. First L word, lilies. 2nd L word, little boats. 3rd L word, lakes. 4th L word, leaven. 5th L word, the 5th L word, I'm going to let you think about this one. You might already have some good guesses what that 5th L word might be. Our Heavenly Father first provides lilies. Lilies. The Lord gives us lilies in our lives. Lilies. Turn back to Matthew 6, starting at verse 28. Matthew 6, and we'll start at verse 28. Matthew 6, starting at verse 28. So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin, and yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Lilies. Lilies. Has God given you any lilies in your life? Any lilies in your life? Well, some of you know that Heather and I love lilies so much that we actually named our daughter Lily. We named our daughter Lily, Lily, L-I-L-Y, not short for Lillian. Lily is Lily, like the flower Lily. And here's another little factoid for you. My beautiful wife Heather is also named for a flower, 3 flowers, Heather, Susan, Viola. I'll let you Google that one. Now, God may show you an actual lily flower. He may show you an actual lily flower. Or he may give you something that has all the characteristics of a lily. All the characteristics of a lily. Gloriously arrayed, God made, short stayed. Gloriously arrayed, God made, short stayed. Has God given you any lilies in your life? Has God given you any lilies like that? Lilies give you much needed perspective, okay, a sense of proportion on how much God cares for you. Will he not much more clothe you? Will he not much more clothe you? Perspective, yes. But I believe even more important is the beauty. The beauty, even for a passing moment, sheer beauty. As C.S. Lewis writes, listen to this, as C.S. Lewis writes, we do not want merely to see beauty. We want something else which can hardly be put into words, to be united with the beauty we see, to pass into it, to receive it into ourselves, to bathe in it, to become part of it. To become part of it, like the sunset from last October 6th. Anyone else remember the sunset from last October 6th? You remember the sunset from last October 6th? Well, it's burned in my mind's. I remember I got in the car and I raced out from our house to Sandy Hook to the west. To the west. To the west, the sun was melting into those highlands. And to the east, this full moon was rising right out of the ocean. And the light was just bouncing back and forth between the two. Even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. What beauty! For just a split second, just a glimpse, a shadow of what's ahead, a mere taste of the full glory where we're going. God's glory, face to face. We can make it. We can make it. Oh, you of little faith. Our Heavenly Father increases our faith by providing lilies. Second L word, little boats. Little boats. The Lord increases our faith by giving us little boats in our lives. Turn over to Matthew chapter 8. Now chapter 8, and we'll pick up the story in verse 22. Over a couple pages, Matthew 8. And verse 22, but Jesus said to him, follow me and let the dead bury their own dead. Now when he got into a boat, his disciples followed him. And suddenly a great tempest arose on the sea so that the boat was covered with waves. But he, Jesus, was asleep. Then his disciples came to him and awoke him, saying, Lord, save us, we are perishing. But he said to them, why are you fearful, O you of little faith? Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. Now, when you study this story of Jesus calming the storm and the sea in Matthew 8, I encourage you, please read the parallel account in Mark 4. The parallel account in Mark 4. In fact, turn there right now to Mark chapter 4 and verse 35. Keep your thumb in Matthew 8, Mark chapter 4 and verse 35. Mark 4:35. These accounts are very similar. In fact, some of the verses are actually exact word for word matches, but there are a few important differences that Mark brings out. I wish we had time to go through all the verses, all the differences. But let's at least look at the first one here in Mark 4 and verse 36. Let's look at that one. In Mark, we're not just in any old boat. In Mark, we're not just in any old boat. We're not in a boat that Matthew records. Mark tells us here in this verse that we're in a little boat. And there are other little boats around, that we're in a little boat. And there are other little boats with them. Little boats. Little boats. Has God given you any little boats in your life? Well, I told you, you might not like everything God does in your life to increase your faith. Little boats. Little boats. Why does God sometimes give us little boats? Well, listen closely to this. The Lord sometimes provides resources that are insufficient for his calling in your lives. Let me say that again. The Lord sometimes provides resources that are insufficient for his calling in our lives. Insufficient resources. Does that sound confusing? Insufficient resources. When God calls us to do something, sometimes he doesn't give us everything we think we need to get it done. When the Lord tells us to follow him, he doesn't always give us all the money. He doesn't always give us all the time, all the strength, all the know-how, all the competencies, all the gifts, talents, and abilities. He doesn't always give them all to us because, write this down, he wants us to know that we have to rely on him, that we have to rely on the source. Not the resource, the source, not the resource, that we have to have faith, faith, have you ever been there? Have you ever been there? When he called Mike and Melinda to Jamaica, when he called Teresa to Colombia, when he called Don and Amy to Greenwood Hills, when he called Craig and Daniela to that far-off country called Parenthood, God bless you, you're going to need lots of faith. When he called Heather to care for a special needs son, when his call for you, when his call for you calls for a pleasure craft, when his call for you calls for a pleasure craft, a luxury craft, sometimes he gives you a rusty raft, a leaky kayak, an old canoe up some creek without a paddle, so that we might know without a shadow of a doubt that we are to rely on the source, not the resource, that we have to have faith. Faith that we can't do it alone. We need faith in Him and Him alone. Is anyone here still longing for that bigger boat? Are you still longing for that bigger boat? Well, our God is bigger. He is bigger. Oh, you of little faith. Our Heavenly Father increases our faith by providing lilies, little boats, third L word, lakes. Lakes. The Lord increases our faith by giving us lakes in our lives. Lakes. Turn over to Matthew now, chapter 14. Chapter 14, and we'll pick up the story at verse 22. Matthew 14, and we'll pick up the story in verse 22. Well, immediately Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. Now, when evening came, he was alone there. But the boat was now in the middle of the sea, tossed by the waves, for the wind was contrary. Now in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a ghost." And they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Be of good cheer. It is I. Do not be afraid." Verse 28, and Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." So he said, "Come." And when Peter had come down out of the boat, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw that the wind was boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried out, saying, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him and said to him, "O you of little faith, why did you doubt?" And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased. Has God given you any lakes in your life? Has God given you any lakes? Any lakes? Any lakes? I'm not talking about the kinds of lakes that you cruise around in on your big boats, your pleasure crafts, your luxury liners. I'm not talking about smooth sailing. I'm talking about the kinds of lakes with boisterous wind, tossed by the waves, for the wind is contrary. Does anyone know what contrary wind is? Anyone know what contrary wind is? Well, I don't know what contrary wind is either, but listen, when I go for a run out here in the boardwalk, and I go south to Spring Lake. I go south along the boardwalk to Spring Lake. Well, now the wind is always in my face. Then when I turn around to come back and run back to Belmar, the wind is still in my face. Is that what contrary wind is? Have you been on that run? The wind is still in your face. The Lord gives us trials. The Lord gives us trials, yes. But The story does not say this. The story does not say that Peter reached up his hand towards Jesus, and Jesus reached down his hand towards Peter, and they somehow kind of met in the middle. The story does not say that. The story does not say that. No, Jesus stretched out his hand. Jesus reached out his hand and caught Peter. He stretched out his hand. The same hand. The same hand that was nailed to the cross for you and for me. Anyone still in some lake this morning sinking, trying to save yourself? Well, look to Jesus in faith, boisterous faith, so that we might know his hand is right there. Our Savior, his hand is right there. Oh, you of little faith. Our Heavenly Father increases our faith by providing lilies, little boats, lakes. Fourth L word, leaven. Fourth L word is leaven. Leaven. The Lord increases our faith by giving us leaven in our lives. Turn now to Matthew chapter 16. We'll pick up the story at verse 5. Verse 5, chapter 16 and verse 5. Now when his disciples had come to the other side, they had forgotten to take bread. Then Jesus said to them, take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And they reasoned among themselves, saying, it is because we have taken no bread. But Jesus, being aware of it, said to them, O you of little faith, why do you reason among yourselves because you have brought no bread? Do you not yet understand or remember the 5 loaves of the 5,000 and how many baskets you took up, nor the 7 loaves of the 4,000 and how many large baskets you took up? How is it that you do not understand that I did not speak to you concerning bread, but to beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and Sadducees? Has God given you any leaven in your lives? Has God given you any leaven in your lives? Any leaven? Any leaven in your lives? Now, leaven does not refer to yeast for bread. Jesus makes that point pretty clear in this passage. Leaven refers to all the evil things in this world that are so hard to detect. All the evil things in this world that are so hard to detect. Do a word search in your Bibles and look at all the things that Jesus tells us to beware of, take heed of, be on your guard for. False prophets, false teachers, hypocrites, the greedy who come in sheep's clothing, who parade around in long robes, who look like whitewashed tombs, which indeed appear beautiful outwardly, but inside are full of dead men's bones and all uncleanness. Evil. Evil. Don't you know a little yeast leavens the whole loaf? Any leaven in your lives? Any leaven in your lives? Well, why in the world does God permit leaven in our lives? Why? Why? Well, I don't know fully. I don't know fully, but I do know this. I do know this. That when I get a little leaven in my loaf, I see very clearly who I was before Jesus reached out and caught me. Who I was. I see very clearly who I was before Jesus reached out and caught me. Who I was before Jesus saved me. Who was I? I was a bad apple. Sorry for the mixed metaphor. I was a bad apple, rotten to the core, but you might never known it because of that shiny red wax all buffed for the world to see, but stinking inside. Do you remember who you were before Jesus saved you? Do you remember who you were before Jesus saved you? Well, look back. Look back and look at you now. Look back and look at you now. We can have faith today because look how far we've come. Look how far we've come. Just look at the difference that faith in Him makes. Jesus cleanses you from the inside out when you receive Him from the outside in. Oh, you of little faith. Our Heavenly Father increases our faith by providing lilies, little boats, lakes, leaven, finally the fifth L word. Have you figured that one out? The fifth L word. This is the most important one. This is the summation of the first four. Our Heavenly Father provides Himself. The Lord Himself. This one's the best one of all. The Lord Himself. Turn over to Matthew 17, starting at verse 18. Matthew 17 and verse 18, and we'll close with this. Matthew 17, starting at verse 18, the Lord Himself. And Jesus rebuked the demon, and it came out of him, and the child was cured from that hour. Then the disciples came to Jesus privately and said, "Why could we not cast it out?" Verse 20, so Jesus said to them, "Because of your unbelief," most translations say, "your little faith." Because of your little faith, for assuredly I say to you, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, "Move from here to there," and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you. Has God given Himself for anyone here this morning? Has the Lord shown up in anyone's life here today? Well, if you're not sure, try moving a mountain on your own strength. Try moving a mountain on your own strength. Anyone have any mountains that need moving in your lives? Any mountains need moving? I could see some of you have been pushing those mountains for a while now and they haven't budged. But Jesus said to them, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, "Move from here to there," and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you. Nothing will be impossible for you. Nothing. Even if you have faith as a mustard seed. Because it's not the size of your faith, but the object of your faith that matters. It's not how much faith you have, but in whom your faith rests. Is your faith resting in Him today? Is your faith resting in Him today? Then move those mountains. Move those mountains. We can move mountains through Christ. Through Christ, we can move mountains. We can feed 4,000, 5,000. We can walk on water. We can calm the sea through Christ. Through Christ, we can be united with the beauty that we see. Pass into it. Receive it unto ourselves. Bathe in it. Become part of it. Part of His beauty. Through Christ. Through Christ. He will increase our faith. Oh, you of little faith. Will you place your faith in Christ today? Let's pray. Lord Jesus, this morning, we pray that you might increase our faith. We want to pray the very same prayer the father of the boy with the unclean spirit prayed in Mark 9. The very same prayer. You said to him, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. And immediately the father of the child cried out and said with tears, "Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. Lord, we believe. Help our unbelief." Let us cry out with tears of joy this morning. Together, right now, let today be the day. We believe. Help our unbelief. Increase our faith. Amen.